Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Mem. We're three lines from the top on Daf Mem Amar Aleph. Says the Gemara, it's what we learned. Now the Gemara soon will provide us with the background for this Gzeiras Merchatzois, that the Chachamim enacted a decree to forbid one from bathing on Shabbos, even using preheated water, water that was already cooked up from Erev Shabbos. The Gemara will tell us this was on account of a concern that one may actually cook up, heat up the water on Shabbos itself, as the attendants of the bathhouses, the Balonim, actually did. So this was a Gzeira that the Chachamim passed. One should not bathe on Shabbos. He shouldn't bathe his entire body. What about a partial bathing, part of his body? Says the Gemara, Itma we learned. Chamin shuch merav Shabbos, water that was heated up from Erev Shabbos. Rav Amar lemachar, tomorrow, meaning on Shabbos itself, roichetz behen kol gufay ever. Indeed, he cannot take a full body bath, but he may be roichetz, wash one ever at a time, one limb at a time. So although at the end of the day, at the end of this process, his whole body will be washed, but the process of the rechitza was not a complete, comprehensive rechitza for his entire body at once, but rather it was incremental, it was one aver at a time, and therefore that was not included in this gzera, this decree of gzeras merchatzois. So we look at the manner in which he is being reichetz himself, since it's not kol gufay, his entire body at once, it's okay. Ushmol amarno, lo yitiru lirchetz ela panov yada v'raglov. He could only wash his face, hands, and feet, and the Mefarshim say it means as long as he didn't bathe his entire body, his roiv, the majority of his body. So, according to Shmuel, we look at the end results. A person cannot do rechitza on most of his body. He could only do rechitza on a portion of his body. So even if he does aver, there's no heter for that. Even if he does it incrementally. So the point is, according to Shmuel, we look at the results. According to Rav, we look at the process, at the manner in which he's being reichetz himself. The Chacham only forbade a rechitza of kol gufay v'vas achas, his entire or most of his body at once. But if he does it aver, one limb at a time, even if he ends up washing his whole body, that's okay. Continues the Gemara, Meisvei. The Gemara is the kasha from a braisa unto Rav. Chamin shuch mum erev Shabbos. Water that was preheated from Erev Shabbos, lomachar, on Shabbos itself, roichetz ben panav yada v'raglav, avaloi kol gufay. So the braisa clearly tells us that he can only use it to wash his face, hands, and feet, but not his entire body. To the Rav, there seems to be a refutation on Rav. Says the Gemara, Amlach Rav. Rav will reply, no, it's no kasha to me. Loi, kol gufay v'vasachas. It means to say like this, loi kol gufay v'vasachas. He cannot wash his entire body at once. Ela aver. So when the Braisa says, roichetz ben panav yada v'raglav, meaning he could wash his face, his hands and feet, avol loy kol gufay. What does it mean, loy kol gufay? Loy kol gufay means vivas achas, at once. But if he washes one aver at a time, which is like the panav yada v'raglav, meaning he just washes it, he washes his body step by step, that's okay. Says the Gemara, v'panav yada v'raglav tani. The Braisa clearly tells you that he can only wash at most his face, hands and feet. You're telling me he can wash his entire body if he does it incrementally? Says the Gemara, yes, Rav will say, ke'ein panav yada v'raglav. The Braisa merely is citing an example. He may not go and wash his whole body at once, but he can do it in a manner which is reminiscent of face, hands and feet, meaning if, as long as he does it incrementally, one aver at a time, panav, yada, v'raglav, then it can go through the whole body like that. That's okay. Because we look at the process, at the manner in which he is bathing. This is not the normal, ordinary way of bathing where a person immerses his whole body in the hot water. Here he's doing it aver, one limb at a time. That was not included in the ism. Continues the Gemara, another kasha on Rav. Toshma, it says in the Braisa, lo yitiru, lirchais b'chamin, shuch m'merav Shabbos, they did not allow one to bathe in hot water, even if it was pre-cooked, shuhuch me'erev Shabbos. It was ready from before Shabbos. Ela panav yadav raglav. He can only do it to wash his face, hands and feet. This seems to be a kasha again on Rav, which allows bathing the entire body as long as he does it incrementally. Says Gemara Chinami here too, we'll say the same answer. The Brice is simply saying, Ke'ein panav yadav raglav. He must do it limb by limb. Ke'ein panav yadav raglav, meaning not the entire guf, but aver at a time. Panav, yadav, raglav, etc. Continues the Gemara, Tanika Vaisa Nishmol. We'll have a Brice which actually supports Shmol Shita, which tells us that regardless of how he's bathing himself, he can't do it. The Brice says as follows, Chamin Shuchu Merav Shabbos. Water that was preheated from Erev Shabbos, L'machar, on Shabbos itself, Reiches Behen, Panav Yadav Raglav, Avoloi Kol Gufoi, Aver. So the Brice is clearly telling us, there's no exemption for washing his body, Aver, one limb at a time. Ve'en Tzorach Leima, the Brice continues, Ve'en Tzorach Leima, it's needless to say, that Cham and Shuchma B'Yontif, that water which was actually cooked on Yontif, cannot be used in this manner. So we have a brisa which supports Shmuel clearly that the Isser of the Rabbanon of Merchatzois applies even if he's going to wash Aver. Continues the Gemara, Rabba Masni Lo La Shmaita the Rav. Rava learnt this opinion of Rav Bahai Lishan in a different version. What was Rava's version of Rav's opinion? Chamin shuchmu me'erev Shabbos, water that was preheated from Erev Shabbos. L'machar, tomorrow on Shabbos itself. Amar Rav roichetz ben kol gufoy. He may bathe his entire body as long as he leaves out something. U'meshayer eiver echad. So he can do his entire body as long as he leaves something out. So this again is not the comprehensive rechitza to which the Rabbanon applied their decree. He's doing something different. He's doing an incomplete rechitza, therefore according to Rav, this was never included in the injunction of the Chachamim. So this is Rav's opinion. So once again, we have two versions of Rav. Rav takes a lenient approach to this gzeres merchatzois. According to the first version of Rav, one can wash his entire body as long as he does it part by part. According to the second version of Rav, one could wash his entire body at once, as long as he leaves out one aver. Continues the Gemara, Eisvei Kol Hani Tuyufta. So the Gemara asks on Rav, all these kashas, we had a total of three brises, which seem to refute to go against Rav's heter. And the Gemara concludes, indeed, Tuyufta. Indeed, Rav's opinion is refuted. Now, the reason why over here, with regard to the second version of Rav, does the Gemara conclude in this manner, explains Rashi, because according to the second version of Rav, which allows one to be roiches his entire body, as long as he leaves out one aver, we have no explanation for the Braisa, which tells us that he can only wash panav yadav raglav, right? The Braisa tells us, the first Braisa said, he can be roiches panav yadav raglav. The second Braisa said, panav yadav raglav. The third Braisa said, Roiches panav yadav raglav. So the Brice is clearly telling us that it could only do panav yadav raglav. And we have no way to explain that, to interpret those Brices in accordance with the second version of Rav, which allows one to wash his entire body, as long as he leaves something out. So we may look according to the first Lashon of Rav, which said that a person can bathe himself totally, as long as he does it aver. So we interpreted those Brices, those terms of panav yadav raglav, to mean that as long as he does it incrementally, like face, then hands, then feet, etc. The Brice is merely giving us an example of washing his body incrementally. So we couldn't refute Rav from those Brices. However, according to the second Lishna, according to this version of Rav, which allows one to wash the entire body, as long as he leaves something out, there's no way to interpret those Brices. The Brice clearly tells us, Panav Yadav Raglav. According to Rav, he can do his entire body, as long as he leaves something out. And this is more to Yufta, to refutation. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yosef L'Abaye. Rav Yosef turned to Abaye and he said as follows, Rabba, Mika Ovid Kishmaita de Rav. Did Rava follow did he conduct himself in accordance with the shita of Rav, with the leniency of Rav? Now, why was Rav Yosef asking Abaye this question? So Rashi explains that Abaye, who was orphaned at a very young age, he became a yosef very young, he was actually raised in the home of Rav. In fact, it says that, do you know that Abaye's name is actually Rosh Tevis? It stands for, the Aleph Beis Yud Yud stands for Asher Becho Yerucham Yosem. So the Rachmanis given to a Yosem will be applied to you. So that's the name Abaye. So he lived in the house of Rabbah. And Rav Yosef wanted to know, this was after Rabbah's passing, he wanted to know, how did Rabbah conduct himself in his private life? Did he follow Rav Shita or not? Amar Lei Lo Yidan, I don't know. Now the Gemara questions this whole conversation, this whole dialogue. Mighty Boile, how come Rav Yosef had such a question? Why was he uncertain of whether Rabbah followed Rav or not? Pshita Deliyavit, certainly Rabbah could not have followed Rav's leniency. Though Toysav, it was already refuted. So it's more Lo Shmile. Rav Yosef knew that Rabbah never heard those refutations, and therefore he was still uncertain. He was questioning whether Rabbah followed Rav's shita. Says the Gemara, Vilo Shmilei, if he had not heard those refutations, if Rabbah did not know that Rav's shita was refuted, then certainly Vaday Ovid, certainly he would follow Rav's opinion. Why was Rav Yosef even asking? We know that Rabbah always followed Rav's shita. Because Abaye had already told us, Kol Mili Demar, Ovid Kirav, that Mar, meaning his master, his teacher, Rabbah, he's referring to Rabbah, Kol Mili Demar, in all his ways, in all his customs, he would follow in accordance with the Shita of Rav, Ovid Kirav, except for three things, Bar Mehanit Klas, except for these three things, the Ovid Kishmol, that he followed Shmuel's opinion. What are these three things? Matilim beged. We had this gemara and Dafchav Beis. So this is the halacha of transferring tzitzis from one beged to the other. So he followed Shmuel's leniency, who allowed that to be done. It wasn't considered to be a bizui of the first beged, a degradation of the first beged, since he's intending on using the tzitzis for the second beged. That was the first halacha. Umadlikim menel and could transfer a flame. He could light one Ner Hanukkah from the other. So since he's going and he's lighting another Ner Chanukah, that's allowed. V'alocha Kim Shimon Begreira, and we follow according to Rav Shimon's halacha with regard to allowing one to drag a heavy item on the earth, even though it might end up forming a charit, a furrow. There's no concern because Rav Shimon holds that Dover She'eni Miskaven is Mutar. If one does an act, a Maisa, which results in a secondary, an incidental act, Malacha being done, which was not something which he intended to do, according to Rav Shimon, that's mutter. Okay, so these are three things that there was a machlekes regarding them. There was a machlekes in Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbah followed Shmuel regarding these three things. But in all other things, regarding all other halachas, Rabbah always followed Rav's opinion. So why was Rav Yosef asking Abaye whether or not Rabbah agreed with Rav? We know he always followed Rav's opinion. It says the Gemara, Kichumri de Rav Ovid. When Abaye says that Rabbah always followed Rav's opinion, what he meant was with regard to stringency, his chumris. He was always machme like Rav. Except for these three things mentioned here, that he followed the kula, the leniency of Shmuel. However, kikuli de Rav, lo yavid, he didn't follow all the leniencies of Rav. And the halacha of merchatz, of bathing oneself, is one of those leniencies. So not necessarily the Rabbah agree with Rav's leniency in this regard. And therefore, Rav Yosef questioned Abaye, is it so that Rabbah conducted himself in accordance with Rav's leniency or not? So in summary, what is the halacha of hot water, chamin shehuchmu me'erev Shabbos? He may use it to wash himself, according to Shmuel, only panav yadav v'raglav, as Mefarshim say, as long as it's not the majority of his body. According to Rav, we have two versions. Version number one says, Rav allows his whole body to be washed as long as it's done aver, one limb at a time, which doesn't reflect the ordinary manner and method of bathing. Rav's second version was that he could bathe his whole body, even at once, as long as he leaves out one aver. This too is an incomplete mechitza and was not included in the gzeira, in the injunction, in the decree of the Chachamim, who prohibited doing a mechitza, merchatz on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabbanu, we learned in a Brisa. Merchatz, a bathhouse, Shepakuku Nukavav Merev Shabbos, whose vents, the vents which would allow the heat to come into the Merchatz, were blocked off, were stuffed up. Shepakuku Nukavav Merev Shabbos. So there's no heat entering the actual Merchatz. Says the Brisa, Lemoitzoy Shabbos, Roichetz by Miyad. So immediately after Abdullah Matzah Shabbos, he can go into this Merchatz and bathe himself there. Pakaku Nekavav Merev Yomtiv. If those vents, which allow the hot air to go into the Merchatz, were blocked up from Erev Yomtiv, L'machar, so tomorrow, meaning on Yomtiv itself, Nichnas Umezia, he can go into this Merchatz and take a steam bath. Sit there and sweat as a result of this hot sauna. And that's allowed. V'yoytze, and he goes out of the merchatz. U'mishtatef v'vayis achitzin. He can go rinse himself off in the outer chamber. So the bathhouses were built in a manner that had an inner chamber. V'vayis apnimi. We learned this in brachis, where they would actually take the bath. Then they had some outer chambers where they would get dressed. So he goes ahead and he enters the inner chamber. He's mazia. He takes that steam bath and comes outside and. He's mishtatev v'vayis achitzin, rinses himself off in the outer chamber. Now, according to Tosfos, one of the pshatim of Tosfos is that he's rinsing himself with soin and cold water. Now, the reason why he has to go out to the v'vayis achitzin, Rashi explains, so that nobody will think that he's actually bathing. So he must do this in the v'vayis achitzin. Okay, now Tosfos points out, interesting point, that even though the b'raisa gives us two separate things here. When the Merchatz's vents were stuffed up before Shabbos, before Yontif, the Brisa tells us, so after Shabbos he can go partake, he can use the Merchatz immediately. And the Brisa tells us that on Yontif itself as well, he can go in there and take a steam bath. Tosfos says these two halachas apply to both Shabbos and Yontif evenly, equally. And the same halacha that the Brisa applies to Shabbos will apply to Yom Tov and vice versa. So a Merchatz whose vents were pakuk, were stuffed up, closed up before Shabbos and before Yom Tov, so immediately after Shabbos and Yom Tov he can go ahead and bathe in this Merchatz. And on Shabbos and on Yom Tov themselves he can actually be mazia, take this steam bath. So there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Tais explains why the Brisa mentions them separately. Okay, now what is the reason why he needs to close up these vents? The Mefarshim explain, because otherwise, if he leaves those vents open, there's a concern that if he goes into the Merchatz on Shabbos or Yom Tov to be mazia, to take the steam bath, there is a concern that he may come to do actual rechitza. Therefore, the Chacham said he can only go in there to be mazia if those vents were clogged up or closed up. Same thing with regard to going into this Merchatz right after Shabbos, right after Yom Tov. You can only do that if those vents were closed up. And the reason for this is because otherwise there's a concern that perhaps he will be over on Shami Yichata B'Gecholim. He might go ahead and stir those coals that are producing the heat. So he must stuff up those vents, and only then can he go A, use this Merchatz right after Shabbos and Yom Tov. Number two, he can go in there on Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves and be mazia and take a steam bath. Continues the Brisa. Om Rav Yehuda. Masa, there was a story. B'merchatz shel Bnei Brak. A bathhouse of Bnei Brak. Shepakuku nekavav of Merev Yom Tov. So the vents were closed up from Erev Yom Tov. What happened? L'machar. So tomorrow on Yom Tov itself. Nichnas Rav Lezer ben Azariah ve Rav Akiva. V'yizihu boy. They took a steam bath. V'yatzu v'neshtatu v'bayis achitzin, so they went to the outer chamber and rinsed off. Ella, says the Baisa, but you should know, shechamen shaloi mechupen b'nasarim, that the hot water were actually covered up with slats. And Rashi says, this will take away the concern that people may think that they actually use the hot water of the merchatz, so they made sure that the hot water was properly covered over. And again, as Tosfos explains, they used cold water to rinse himself. Continues the Brisa. When this story was told to the Chachamim, Amr, they said, it wasn't necessary to cover the hot water with slats. Even though the hot water was not covered over with boards, it would be okay. Continues the Brisa. So apparently up until this point, it was mutter to be mazia, a steam bath was permitted. However, continues the Brisa, that didn't last. When the transgressors increased, and they began doing Avera, as the Brisa will soon explain. The Gemara soon explained what the particulars of this process were, but there was a concern that people will actually come to do Avera. Mishirabu Oiv Avera, when the Oiv Avera increased, his Chilu Lesser, so the Chachamim initiated an Isser on Zeya as well, on taking a steam bath. So this too became Asser. Continues the Gemara, Ambat Yoyishal Krochim, even if there was a Gzera of Zeya, that one may not take a steam bath. However, the Ambat Yoyishal Krochim, the bathhouses of the large cities, Mitayel Ben Benichoshish, one may stroll through them and not be concerned that others will say, well, he's taking a steam bath, no concern. Okay, so this is the end of this Brisa. We began with a halacha of closing up the vents, and which allow a steam bath to take place. We continue with the story, in fact, that these Tanoim or Lezer and Zayin or Kiva actually steam bathed on Yom Tov. And the Brisa concluded that eventually the Chachamim enacted a decree, a gzera, a iser, to prohibit Zeya steam bathing. And this was as a result of the Oivi Avera, which the Gemara soon will explain. And one more halacha, that a bathhouse in a large city, in that bathhouse a person can stroll, and there's no concern that people think that he's doing Zeya, he's steam bathing. Continues the Gemara, my Oivi Avera. What is this Oivi Avera described in the Brisa, that this led to people transgressing? Dovar Shum and Pazi. Omar Shum Levi, Mishum Akapar. Beschila initially, Hoy Roichsim Bechama Shuch Mer Shabbos. Initially, it was allowed to go ahead and bathe using water that was preheated from Erev Shabbos. So what happened? His chilu habalonim lochem b'Shabbos. So the attendants of the bathhouses began actually heating up the water on Shabbos itself. And they would pretend, they would say Erev Shabbos huchmu. It was heated from Erev Shabbos, no problem. The Mefarshim say that they didn't actually go ahead and physically, actively go ahead and cook that water on Shabbos, but rather they would pile up a large supply of wood, by the fire of the merchats from Erev Shabbos. And they set up the system that this fire would just last and last through Shabbos and keep on cooking up the water. And this is Asur Midrabbanan, because having exposed coals create a concern of Shema Yechate. We learned this many times. There's a concern about going ahead and getting involved and stirring those coals on Shabbos. So this is the Isser that the Balonim, the attendants, would do. The Chacham saw that was happening. Osru Asachamen. They made an Isser, they passed an Isser against using hot water on Shabbos, even if it was preheated from Erev Shabbos. This would take away the facade of the Balonim. They wouldn't have anything to attribute the hot water to. We can't use hot water even from Erev Shabbos. V'tiris Azeya, however, they allowed steam bathing. So what happened then? And this is the point mentioned in the Brisa. What happened was that even that was taken advantage of by the Oivi Aver. V'adayin hoi reichsen b'chamen. Nevertheless, people will go ahead and use hot water, preheated hot water from Erev Shabbos. They would bathe themselves and they would say, they would pretend, this is simply a result of steam bathing. So this is the Oiv Yarveira described in the Brisa. When transgressors would increase, they came and they did Issa Derabbanan. They washed themselves, they bathed themselves using preheated water. And they pretended, they used the front of Zeya. They said it's merely a steam bath. As a result, subsequently they went ahead and they passed Xera on Zeya as well, on steam bathing as well. This would prevent anybody from actually bathing themselves with preheated hot water. But they left something open. They allowed use of natural hot water springs like the Chamei Tveria, as long as it wasn't artificially heated up through a fire. V'adayin hayu roichsam mechamei or. So what did that lead to? People go ahead and use artificially heated water, chamei or, water which was heated by fire. V'ayinu, and they would pretend that it was merely b'chamei Tveria chasam. You only used Chamei Tveria. As a result, the Chacham passed another stage to this gzera. Oshlam Chamei Tveria, they upgraded this gzera and they disallowed. They prohibited, they asked even Chamei Tveria. But they left something, v'tirulam satsoin, and they could use cold water. However, says the Gemara, it didn't last. Rosh ein adavar oimid lehem. It wasn't sustainable. It was too severe, this broad gzera. And we know that if the tzibur is not mekabel, rei of the tzibur, a majority of the public doesn't accept the gzera, then the gzera doesn't have any halachic validity. So as a result, hitirlan chametveret, they reverted, they matir, they allowed use of the thermal spring water, of the hot spring water, the chametveria. Vezeyavim kamemedes, however, the issur to steam bathe remained standing in its place. So the only thing that was left, that was allowed, was either chametveria, and of course it's soin in the cold water. Kadina zigmar amarava. Haiman the avar adrabanan, one who transgresses over an Issa Drabbanon, Shari Limikri Le Avaryana. One is allowed to refer to him as an Avaryana, a transgressor, even though it's only Issa Drabbanon. So it's more Keman. Where did Rava find the source to this concept? Kiai Tana. He found it in our Tana, in our Braisa. Because the Braisa refers to those people who washed, who bathed using preheated hot water, Chaman that Wahuchamu Me'erev Shabbos, which was Asam Drabbanon. Those people who use that water are referred to in the Braisa as Oivri Avera, those transgressors. And the Braisa says, as a result of those Oivri Avera, who would be Oivir, transgress this instance of Rabbanon, bathe themselves using preheated water on account of that. They did that and they pretended that it was merely as a result of Zeya. They're wet, they're moist as a result of the steam bath. So these Oivri Avera were the catalyst of the upgrading of the gzera. The Chacham, as a result of that, added another stage to the gzera and prohibited use of preheated water as well. So we see clearly that the Braisa refers to those people who are being over on Issa Drabbanan, over Avera, and this indeed concurs with Rava's statement that one who is over on Issa Drabbanan is allowed to refer to as a Avaryana. Continues the Gemara. How are we going to explain the last halacha in the Braisa, Ambatiyoyis shel krachim, the bathhouses in the large cities, metail ben, one can take a stroll in them, ve'nechoshesh, without any concern. Omar Rava, says Rava, let me explain. Dafka krachim, this refers only to the large bathhouses in the cities. Aval the firm, but the small ones in the towns, in the villages. Loi, one may not stroll through them on Shabbos. My time of why? Even the zutron, since they're small, novish havlayo, they're very steamy. And merely taking a stroll through them is tantamount to a steam bath. So there's no heter there. So let's take a brief summary regarding the Gzeiras Merchatzois, this decree that the Chachamim established with regards to bathing. The Gemara actually tells us there were several stages, several phases in this takana. It began with a simple Gzeira. On Chamin, one may not use preheated hot water to bathe with on Shabbos. And the reason for that was because the balonim, the attendants, would go ahead and actually do an iser on Shabbos. Therefore, the Chacham said, no bathing on Shabbos, even using preheated water. The next phase of the gzera was that not only chamen, even zeya, then it was upgraded even further to include chamei tveria. The Chacham saw it wasn't sustainable, and they retracted that one. And what remained was that one may not use chamen preheated water to bathe on Shabbos, and there was an iser on steam bathing as well. However, they allowed soinein and chametveri. Continues the Gemara, Tana Rabban, mischamim adam kineged hamadura. One can heat himself opposite a fire. V'yoytzi, then he goes out and mishtatef bit soinein and rinses himself with hot water. Ubelvash lo yishtatef bit soinein v'yischamim kineged hamadura. But in the reverse, he can't do it. He can't first, though yishtatef b'tzoyin, he shouldn't rinse himself with cold water, and then go and approach the madura, v'yischamem kineged ha-madura, and warm himself up opposite the fire. What's wrong with that? The fire is not actually heating up the water and being mavashal the water to a high degree that's considered to be mleches bishul. He's merely warming himself up slightly. He's warming up the water to a lukewarm level. What's wrong with that? Because he's warming up the water on him. Says Tosfos, what's wrong with that? Mefarish riva, the doime kereiches b'mayim chamin. It appears as though he's washing with hot water. V'yavai, this may lead him to actually cook up the water. Lahachim chamin l'chutz gufay, it might lead one to actually cook up water, heat up water to wash himself with. So, doing it in this manner is not acceptable. He can first heat himself up with the fire and then go out and rinse himself with cold water, but not in the reverse, because it appears as though he's actually warming up the water which is on him and bathing in them. So it's tantamount, it's reminiscent, it's similar to actually cooking up water, heating up water for the sake of rechitza, which of course is an issa d'oraisa. Continues the b'raisa, turn up on mechem adam aluntis. One may warm up a towel. Umanichal b'nei me'ayim b'shabas, has a stomach ailment, so he puts the warm towel and on his bnei me'ayim on his stomach to soothe himself. That's allowed. Well, vad provided shelo yavi kumkumus shomayim, he can't bring a hot water kettle shomayim chamin v'yanechenol bnei me'ayim b'shabbos. He can't put this kettle which contains hot water on his stomach on Shabbos. Why is that? We have several reasons. The Rishonim, Rashi says, we're concerned shama yishpuchu olav, that the water shama yishpuchu olav, they'll spill on him. And as a result, he's going to be washing himself on Shabbos with hot water, which is not allowed. Some ask on Rashi, but he's only washing part of his body, a small part of his body. That's not osur. Tosfos gives us several reasons, actually two reasons. And the first reason he says is because the Gemara actually means to say that he can't bring the hot water as long as the towel is still present, because it might spill onto the towel and it might come to squeeze out the towel. It's just schita. Inami, another pshat, says Tosfos, it is because of the reason of refuah. We know the Chachamim do not allow one to do refuah on Shabbos, therapeutic remedies for minor ailments, because he might come to actually grind the samamonim, the ingredients. So one may not involve himself in an extensive refuah, something which appears like a refuah, an extensive refuah, which is, for example, this kettle, which he's putting on his stomach. However, it says Tosfos, this towel is lemichsa kurefuah kol kach, doesn't have that feel of refuah, doesn't have that appearance of a ma'aser refuah, and that's allowed. Okay, continues the b'raisa regarding this kettle of hot water. He cannot put it on his stomach. V'davar hazeh, doing this, afilu b'chol aser, even during an ordinary weekday, is not allowed. Why? V'pnei hasakan, on account of danger, because it might spill over and it might burn him. Tana rabbanan l'tan b'raisa, maybe adam kitin mayim, person could bring a container with water. Umanichai keneged ha-madura, can place it opposite the fire. Lo bishul sheyichamu, not close. Tosfos learns he can't put it close enough. Lo bishul sheyichamu, close enough that the water can actually heat up and become nisbashel. Elo bishul shetovik tzinasan, he can only place it at a distance where at most it can lose its chillness, meaning it can get slightly warmed up. That's okay. That's not considered to be bishul. Rabbi Doimer, Mevia Isha Pach Shal Shemen. It's another example. A woman can bring a container of oil. Umanichosa Kinegel Madura. Place it opposite the fire. Lo Bishvul Sheyivashal. Not to the extent that it can actually cook up. El Bishvul Sheyivashal. That the oil will merely warm up. That's okay. So we have the Tanakama who discusses water. We have Rabbi Yehuda discusses the warming of oil. We have another Shita of Shem Gamliel Oimer. Isha sacha yada b'shemen. A woman can anoint her hand with oil. Umachama masa k'neg ha-madura, and warm up her hand opposite the madura. V'sochal b'nakatan, and anoint her young son. V'enei chashesh, is no concern. So we have three tanoim here. We have Tanakama, who allows warming up water. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who allows warming up oil. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us she can do it if she does it in a way of anointing her hand with the oil and then places her hand opposite the madura. Says in Mari Boilu, we have the following question. Shemen Mahula Tanakama. The Tanakama discusses water. What does he hold with regard to oil? Can one warm up oil opposite the fire? So this was the question they asked in the yeshiva. We have a machlekes. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damer Tavai. Le'atayra. So you have two approaches with regard to the opinion of Tanakhama. Number one, Rabbi Rav Yosef, both hold Le'atayra, that the Tanakhama holds that oil is mutter. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kamar Li'isura. Tanakhama holds no, oil is aser. The Gemara will explain. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damer Tavai Le'atayra. They both maintain that the Tanakhama adopted a lenient view, a lenient approach to oil. Shemen, with regard to warming up oil, afapi shayatze leders by mutter, even if he cooks it up to the extent that it's very hot, shayatze leders by, the hand recoils from it, meaning it jumps back, it's so hot, he burns himself. This is the point of Bishol. This is considered to be hot enough that it is actually considered to be cooked. If one cooks up an item to the point of a yatzah letters boy, he has done the malach of bishul. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama holds that one may indeed bring oil to that high level of heat, that high degree of heat, afa bisha yatzah letters boy mutter. Why? Because of a Tanakhama shemen ein boy mishum bishul. The concept of bishul is not applied to oil. Amazing. So according to the Tanakhama, only water carries this restriction that it must be only warmed up but not past that, because that's bishul. However, oil, there's no concept of bishul with regards to oil. Now why is that? Explains the Moshe Feinstein. The concept of bishul represents a changeover, a transformation of the item. Bishul is not merely heating it up to a high degree of heat. Bishul means transforming the item, taking one form of item, heating it up, and changing it into a different form, into a different surah. Says Rav Moshe, apparently according to this view of the Gemara, Tanakhama holds that Shemen doesn't undergo a transformation, and a sufficient transformation to be considered Bishul. Therefore, even if one heats it up, Bishul does not apply. So this is the opinion of Tanakhama, that Shemen ain't by Mishul Bishul. V'asa Ravidele Meimar, Ravidele counters and says no, Shemen yesh b'mishum bishul. Certainly, the concept of bishul applies to oil as well as water. V'hefsheiroi lo zeh bishul. However, merely warming it up, hefsheiroi, that's not considered to be bishul. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's okay if one brings a pach shel shemen, a container with oil, puts it opposite the madura, opposite the flame, to merely warm it up. That's not considered to be bishul. So that's the second view in the braisa, the second sheet. Finally, v'aser b'shem gamliel lemeimar, Shemen yesh b'mishul bishul. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda that bishul applies to shemen as well as water. If sheir is a bishul, however, I hold that merely warming it up, even if it's not yatzah leders, but even if it's not very hot, it's considered to have been mevashel the oil. Now, why is that? We know, generally speaking, the benchmark of bishul is yatzah leders, but this is merely warming it up. It's hefsher. Why is it asur? The Mefarshim say that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds a midrabanan. It's asur. Since he holds that a oil that was merely warmed up, it already undergoes a changeover, a transformation, since it's now the warming enabled the oil to be used for anointing, for sicha. So according to the Shitas Rabbanan, the Rabbanan regarded as some sort of bishul, and they prohibited one from merely warming up that oil as well. It's considered to be bishul with the Rabbanan. So once again, according to this view, which is the Shita of Rabbi and Rav Yosef, they approach the Brisa as follows. They say, well, the Tanakhama, his restriction only applies to oil. He says, to water. Water can be warmed up, but not cooked. Oil can even be cooked on Shabbos. Rav Yosef says, no, oil cannot be cooked. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that oil can't be cooked, but not only if it's cooked is it a problem, but even merely warming it up is also awesome Darabonim. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kamar, this is the second approach to the Braisa. He says, Li Yisur, the Tanakhama agrees that cooking oil is asur. Shemen ava bi she'ein hayatza letters by asur. Tanakhama holds just the opposite. He holds that with regard to oil, not only does bishul apply to oil, but even merely warming it up is already asur. Even if it's not yatza letters, but even if the hand doesn't recoil from it, it's merely warmed up slightly, it's also considered to be asur or bishul, As we said before, this is midrabanan. Kasavar, because Tanakam hold, Shemen Yeshua Mishum Bishul. Bishul applies to Shemen. They have Sheroi Zeo Bishuloi. Merely warming it up is tantamount to Bishul. So this is the Shita of the Tanakama, that's why Tanakama only mentions water. The allowance of Hefsher, of warming it up, only applies to water. Hefsher does not apply to oil, because merely warming it up, being mafsha the oil, is usher, is considered to be Bishul. Va'asar b'delameimar, comes Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no, Hefsher le'ezeo Bishuloi, merely warming up the oil, that's not Bishul, that's okay. Va'asar b'shem gam le'el le'meimar, shemen yeshba mishum Bishul. So the third sheet of Shem Galil says, Shemen has Bishul, Hefsher Zeh Bishuloi, but merely warming it up is already Bishul. So we have three sheetahs. Tanakama says, yes, Shemen cannot be cooked, it cannot even be warmed up. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, one second, Shemen can't be cooked, but it can be warmed up. And Shem Galil says, Shemen cannot be cooked, nor can it be warmed up. Says, what do you mean? These are three sheetahs. The Bryce is presenting them as three different views. We have a duplicate view. We have Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's merely repeating the same as the Tanakama. Rav Shimon Gamliel had a Tanakama. They're both saying the same thing, that oil cannot even be warmed up. Says Gemara, there is something between them. There is a point of contention here. Ikibe Nai, what is the difference between the Tanakama and Shimon Gamliel? Kla Hayat. If he does it derech shinei, meaning does it not in an ordinary manner, he's cooking up the oil. Derech Shinoi. So in this case, she took the oil and she smeared it on her hand and placed her hand opposite the fire. That is considered Kla'achayad. Kla'achayad means using the back of the hand. It's a term for, it's a Derech Shinoi. It's not the ordinary accepted method of doing the Melach. And we know that throughout Maseches Shabbos, a Melach Deiraisa. When is something considered to be a biblically prohibited melacha? Only if it's done outright in the ordinary manner, in the normal way of doing things. But if he does it derech shinoi, in an unusual manner, that is only ism derabanan. So getting back to how Bryce, Shimon Gamliel says, well, I agree that even merely warming up the oil to a slight degree is already considered to be bishul medrabanan, but I allow it to be done kalachar yad, since he's doing it in an unusual manner, she's smearing the oil on her hand, and that way she's warming it up. That is considered to be derech shinoi. And since this type of bishul is only darbanon, because she's merely warming up the oil, not actually cooking it up and heating it up properly, it's only darbanon. So if she's doing it klachaya derech shinoi, it's mutter. So this indeed is the point of contention between the two shittas. Tanakama holds even klachaya is also, and Shimon Gamliel says derech shinoi is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rida Bar Shmuel. Echad shemen, echad mayim, whether oil or water, they both have a consistent formula. Yad seledes by osur, and yad seledes by mutter. The only time bishul is considered to be bishul with regard to water and oil is if he raised the temperature to yad seledes by. If he cooked it up to that point, yad seledes by in, then in, yes, it's considered to be bishul. Ein yad seledes by osur. So according to Avida Meshmol, there's no concept of an Isser by warming up and merely coming to the point of Hefsher. No such concept. The halacha is the only by cooking these items to the point of a Yatze Ledesboy is it considered to be also considered to be Bishul. What exactly is this benchmark of Yatze Ledesboy? Rashi says everybody has a different reaction. The last two people, What is their Yatze Ledesboy? They'll have two different answers. Everybody has a different degree, level of sensitivity to heat. So what is this? What is the? Let's apply uniform a benchmark to all. Says Zimar Amar Rachava, Kol Shekreisa Shaltinik Nichves. What is the point of Yatze Ledesboy? We measure it. We determine it by Kol Shekreisa Shaltinik Nichves. If the water is hot enough that it will scald the belly of a young baby, some say it means a one day old baby. Shekreise, the belly of Shaltinik Nichvas of a baby will become scalded, become burnt. That is considered to be, we consider the water to have come to the point of Yatze Ledesboy. Okay, let's take a quick chazorah here, a quick summary of the various shitas. Let's begin with the Tanakama, who tells us that warming water on Shabbos is allowed. What about warming up oil? So we have two approaches in the Gemara. we have Rabbah and Rav Yosef who tell us that the Tanna Kamma actually allows one to cook oil on Shabbos. Bishul is mutter. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Yitzchak tells us, no, that the Tanna Kamma is actually being more stringent than Rav Yehuda. Her Tanna Kamma holds that even merely to warm up oil is aser. Hefsher is aser. So that's the shita of the Tanna Kamma. Rav Yehuda tells us, one may warm up oil on Shabbos. Rav Shimon Gamliel tells us, hefsher, warming up is mutter, provided it is done in an unusual manner, derech shinui. And finally, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says that with regards to water and oil, it is only a problem once it reaches the point of yad seledes boy. It is hot enough that the hand jumps back, recoils, because of its high degree, high level of heat. Continues the Gemara. Omar bitzach bar avdimi. Pamachas. Nichnasti, there was an incident that I followed, nechnasti achar Rebbe l'beis hamerchatz, I followed Rebbe into the bathhouse. Uvikashti l'anech lo'i pach shol shemen v'ambati. I wanted to serve him, to prepare his oil for sicha, to anoint himself with it before he bathes. So I wanted to put the container with oil into the ambati, into the tub over there. V'amar li, he told me, don't put it into this hot tub of water. Rather, toil be klisheni, take out some water into a klisheni. Klisheni means the second vessel, not the initial vessel where the water is being cooked up. Take it out, transfer some water into a klisheni, which does not have the ability to be mavasho. And in that klisheni, which contains the hot water, you can put the container of oil. Toil be klisheni v'tein, and place in there the container with oil. Says the Gemara, we learned from this dialogue three halachas. Shema mino klas. Three halachas we learned from here. Number one, shema mino, we learned from here. Shemen yesh b'mishum bishul. The concept of bishul, the malach of bishul, applies to oil as well. That's number one. Ushma mino klisheni ein mavashul. A second kli, a second utensil. Meaning not the initial, not the original kli where the item was cooked on the flame. If you transfer the item, the food, or the liquid into another kli, that's a klisheni. That doesn't have the ability to be mavashul. So you may place the flask of oil into that klisheni. It doesn't have the ability to cook. And Tosfos asks, well, if the water in that klisheni is so hot as yatzei ledes boy, then why doesn't it have the ability to cook? What difference does it make if the boiling, steaming hot water is in a klisheni or is a klirishon? Is the same hot? Says Tosfos, a klisheni is different because although perhaps the content is very hot, it is yatzei ledes boy, but the surface of the kli itself, the doifen of the kli, are hoilechu miskarer. They're cooling off. They're downgrading. It's not like the kli rishon, which is boiling hot, even the surface is very hot, since it was sitting on the fire. That kli rishon has the ability to mavashal, to impart heat, to the extent that it could even cook something within the kli, even when the fire, the kli was already taken off the fire. However, this is different by a klisheni, since the surface of the kli was not sitting on the fire, and the doifen of the kli is constantly hoilech umiskarer, says Tosfos. It's cooling off. It's on a downward trend. Therefore, it doesn't have the ability to impart heat to the extent that it can be mavashal something. So that is the difference between klirishon and klisheni. Once again, the klirishon, since it was sitting on the fire, retains its heat to the extent that it could impart heat to be mavashal something else. Klisheni doesn't have that. Milo doesn't have that ability since it wasn't sitting on the fire. Okay, so that's the second thing we learned, that a klisheni is not mavashal. Number three, ushmamina, we learned from Rebbe's dialogue that hefshero izeh b'shulay, that if one merely warms up the oil, it's just hefsher. That is considered to be bishul. As we explained earlier, it's been the Rabbanon, since he's enabling the oil, the transformation taking place through the hefsher, through the warming process of the oil, enables it to be used for anointing. The Rabbanon, that's considered to be a process of bishul, and therefore he wasn't able to put it in the klirishon, in the ambati itself, because that is the makom bishul. The klirishon has the ability to mavashal, and bringing the oil to the point of hefsher is also considered to be bishul. So that cannot be done in a klirishon. It could only be done in a klisheni, which doesn't have the ability to do bishul. Okay, so we learned three things from this dialogue. Says the Gemara, but hechi avad hachi, how was Rebbe able to issue a ruling, a halachic ruling, in a beis hamerchatz? The Omar Rabba Bab Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Bar Chana told us in the name of Yochanan, Bechol Mokim Mudalahar, one may think Divrei Torah anywhere he wants. Chutz Beis HaMerchatz or Beis HaKiseh, except for Beis HaMerchatz or in Beis HaKiseh. Says Rav Chitaim, or perhaps you'll propose, that Rabbi was allowed to do it. Why? Because Beloshon Chol Amalei, he spoke in a language which wasn't Loshon Kodesh, and that is allowed. Says Rav, that's not so. V'amar Abaye, didn't Abaye tell us that it's not the language that you're using that matters, it's the content of the conversation. Dvarim Shel Chol, worldly matters, non-sacred words, not sacred content. Mutal Amar Loshon Kodesh, one may utter those words, even if he's using Lashon Kodesh, because the content is not Kodesh, it's not sacred. So you can utter that in a Beis HaKiseh, in a Beis HaMerchatz, even if he's speaking Lashon Kodesh. On the other hand, Shel Kodesh, matters of Kodesh, like Torah, like Tefillah, also Lashon Lashon Chol, those cannot be expressed even if he's using a non-Kodesh language, if he's speaking in English. That cannot be discussed in a Beis HaMerchatz. Says the Gemara, indeed, Afrushi mi Sura Shani. You're right. The only reason why this is allowed is because he's coming to be marked for somebody from doing an Isser. He's coming to prevent one from doing an Avera. And therefore, that was allowed even in that location. Apparently, that's not considered to be a Bizoyan, a lack of respect towards the Torah. Actually, coming to uphold the Torah, prevent one from doing an Isser. Says, well, I'll prove this to you. Teda, the Omar of Yudah Mashmo. Ma said there was another story with Talmidus Rav Meir. The student of Rav Meir, Shenichnas, Achal is Amerchus, who followed him into the Beis Amerchus. Ubikesh Ladiach Karka. He wanted to wash the ground. Vomerle Eimadichim. One may not do so on Shabbos. Is concerned that he might go and flatten out the earth, which is a malacha. Losach Leikarka. He wanted to anoint, smear some fragrant oil onto the Karka. So he told him, Amarle Ein Sachan. One may not do so. This was the Beis Amerchus. How is he allowed to speak Divrei Torah? How is he allowed to issue halacha grueling? Alma, apparently, Afrushim Yisur Hashani, preventing one from doing an Isser, is different to Hachanami here too, with regard to Rebbe in the first incident. La Afrushim Yisur Hashani, prevention from an Isser is different. Continues the Gemara, Amar Avina. Let's take another look at the story of Rebbe in the Beis Amerchatz, who told him not to put the flask of oil into the actual Ambati. Shmami, no, we learn from there another halacha, a fourth halacha. Hamavashal b'chametveri b'shabbos chayiv. If one cooks using the chametveri, these thermal springs of hot water, these naturally occurring hot water springs, if he used them for cooking, he's chayiv. Why? Let's figure this out. The hamasa de Rebbe. The story is Rebbe, when he went into the Beis HaMerchatz to bathe in hot water. Apparently, it was after, we know this was after the enactment of the gzera, the establishment of the decree of the gzeras mechatzois, where Rabbanan prohibited one from using even preheated water to bathe on Shabbos. So apparently, how was he allowed to bathe in hot water on Shabbos? Apparently, it was a naturally occurring hot spring of water. It was like a chametveria. Nevertheless, he was concerned with cooking. He said, don't put the oil into this actual klirishon, into the bath, which has the water coming from the hot spring, which is attached to the hot spring, and it's considered to be a klirishon. Don't put it in there. But Amalei told the klisheni. Rather, place it in the klisheni, which doesn't have the ability to cook. Amalei told the klisheni v'tein. So apparently there's a concern of Bishul, even with regards to chametveria, to thermal springs, which don't derive their heat from an actual fire. Apparently, even cooking with chametveria is chayiv. Says more, Eini, is that so? V'amar Rav Chisda, didn't Rav Chisda say, Hamavashal b'chametveria b'shabbos pater? Since he's not using artificially heated up water, he's using naturally occurring hot springs, cooking with that is pater. So how can you say that from the story of Rebbe we see that he's chayiv? Says more, my chayiv nami dukama. What do you mean to say when he said cooking with this chametveria is chayiv? He didn't mean to say he brings a chatos, it's an issur midaraisa. He meant to say makas mardus, he gets rabbinic lashes, makas mardus, he gets lashed, lashes of mardus, of rebuke. It's an issur derabbanan, but certainly not an issur deraisa, and he wouldn't bring a chatos. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Zer, Ano chazite, Rav Avo, I observed Rav Avo, who is doing the following thing, the shot. Bambati, he appeared to be floating in his bathtub. I'm not sure whether he akar, whether he actually lifted his feet off the ground and he floated, or he remained on the ground. Rashi explains that there is a halacha, there's a mishnah which says ein shatin al pnei hamayim. One may not actually swim, float in a nohar gadol, Rashi says, in a river. So he wasn't sure whether this applies only to a nohar gadol, a big river, a large river, or even an abat, even a bathtub, because the Mishnah doesn't speak about the type of body of water where the Chacham applied the gzera. It merely says ein shatin al pnei hamayim, one may not swim, float on water. We're not sure if this refers to a lake, a river, or even a bathtub. So therefore, I'm not certain whether he lifted his feet off the ground and he holds that it's permitted to float in a bathtub, or he stayed firmly on the ground because swimming, floating, even in a bathtub is included in that. It's self-evident that he obviously stayed on the ground. Why? The Sani we learned. One should not swim, float, even in an in-ground pool, even though it's not a river or a lake. Even if it's enclosed in a courtyard, Rashi says that there's no concern that spraying the water with his feet will actually cause the water to go outside of four amas, and he'll do the melacha of maver, of carrying, b'shesarab, of not speaking b'shesarab, even if it's in a chatzar. Nevertheless, one is not allowed to swim in this brecha, in this in-ground pool. Apparently, the iser applies not only to a lake or a river, a natural body of water, even a pool. So what was the question here? What was the shaila of whether you're allowed to swim in the abati? It says, well, like kash, it's not difficult. Ha de les le gedudi. This brecha, this in-ground pool, was a pool that didn't have any embankment, any rim. Therefore, it is similar to a nar, to a natural body of water. And indeed, the gzera would apply there as well. The gzera, not to swim in a natural body of water, unconcerned that he might actually fashion, he might actually make for himself a chavish shel shayatan, some sort of a floating device. So this is a concern with regard to a natural body of water. And even a brecha, even a pool, which is built in a way which is similar to the natural body of water, it doesn't have a rim, doesn't have an embankment, there too the gzera is applied. However, the isle gedudi, this ambati, this bathtub, had a rim, had an embankment, therefore it's similar to a kli, like a vessel. And he held that perhaps, in that case, there's no gzera, there's no concern that he's going to go to build himself a chavish or shayotin to float in his bathtub. Therefore, perhaps he allowed himself to float, and there's no iser, there's no gzera there. Okay, time for a chazara on today's daf. We began with the halacha of water, which was preheated, it was cooked on Erev Shabbos. One may use it to wash himself in the following manner. According to Shmuel, on Shabbos, he can use it to wash his panav, yadav, and raglav, but not most of his body. According to Rav, in the first version of Rav, he can wash his whole body, provided he does it incrementally, one eva at a time. That is not considered to be the bathing which the Rabbanah prohibited. According to the second version of Rav, he can wash his whole body at once, as long as he leaves out one aver. The Gemara told us the chain of events that led to the Gzeres Merchatzoyes. It was a Gzeres decree which was actually phased in stages. Initially, the Chacham only prohibited using hot water on Shabbos. It was extended to even steam bathing. Then extended to using Chamitzveria. And then that was rescinded since it didn't take hold, it wasn't accepted by the masses, and the Chacham remained with Gzera on the hot water and steam bathing as well, but they allowed Chamitzveria and, of course, Tzoynin. The Gemara told us one who transgresses an Isidra Abonon is called an Avarian. The Gemara told us one may stroll through the large bathhouses. There's no concern that it will appear as though he is... There's no concern that it's considered as though he's steam bathing. However, these small bathhouses, which are very steamy, that is tantamount to actually steam bathing. Gemara told us regarding this warm towel which he places on himself, that is allowed. What about warming up oil? So we have three shitas. You have Tanakama, Rav Yudam, Shum Gamliel, and the Braisa. According to the Tanakama, according to Rabbi Rav Yosef's version, it's mutter because bishul is allowed by oil. According to Nachman Yitzchak, even merely warming it up is awesome. According to Rav Yudam, warming is mutter. According to Shum Gamliel, if he does it derech shino, it's mutter. And finally, Rav Yudam and Shmuel tells us, no, there's only concern if it comes to the point of a yad say leathers boy, the hand recoils. The Gemara told us, klisheni is not mevashel. Bishul with chamitzveria is midrabanan. And one may not swim in a natural body of water, a river or a lake. He might go and fashion for himself a swimming device. However, in an abati, a bath, or a kli, is mutter, there's no concern there. What about an in-ground pool? So if it has gedudi, a rim around it, then it appears like a kli, and it is mutter.